Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Did I not just see Bob? Was I hallucinating? Or did Bob Pompeiani walk in?
He did walk in, and now he has disappeared.
Well, where'd he go?
I don't know.
10:04, the show has begun.
And he knows that, and I don't see his bag. I don't see Bob. I saw him walk in. I saw him in the hallway.
Was he okay? Did he appear to be okay?
I think so. Are you worried about his well-being? I am.
A little bit, yeah. When I see a man walk into the building for a 10 o'clock show, and it's 10:05 now, and he's nowhere to be found, I'm highly concerned. Perhaps you could dispatch somebody to locate Bob in the meantime.
I'll pour out a bolo for him.
Thank you. In the meantime, Limits, what a night we had. What a night that you and I and Donnie Football enjoyed at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
Incredible.
Yeah, what was the gentleman's name who was our server?
He was an awesome man, Joe, and he took care of us and was really nice. Russell. He's from the North Hills, he told us.
Russell from the North Hills. I accidentally called him Dr. Cornfetter on multiple occasions.
Yes, Russell McBurney, yeah. He said his name was.
Now, I sort of started thinking about things when I got home last night. Did Donnie's late order of Brussels sprouts, was that because Malzy and Pony wanted him to do that? Wanted him to stick it to me because I was picking up the bill?
I honestly thought that in the moment, yes. Yeah. That's why Donnie did that. It was like a shot right before the end of the shot clock. He got it in just in time.
Yeah, that was... Cornfetter said, thank you for the order. You know, I'll go get all this. And then Donnie, after the buzzer, like if this went to video review, this wouldn't have counted, says, oh, can I order some Brussels sprouts? He was remembering what Pony and Mueller said, make sure you get that last order in.
Yes, make
right?
sure that you continue to jack up the bill on Starkey any way possible.
Bob, welcome to the fray. How are you today? You look wonderful. How do you feel?
Hi, Bob.
How you doing, Joe? I feel good. I feel, my dinner of potato chips last night.
That was a good video you and Zangrilli put out.
We saw what you did over there, and I said, oh, wow, that's interesting. All we have are chips.
So we're trying to figure out here. I took these nice young men out for a steak dinner.
So it was your bet that you lost?
I think it was lost bets. I don't know. I got confused along the way, but they're both very good guys.
Yes, they are.
They both give me hope, both for the future of the world and the future of this station. Both very talented guys.
I would agree with that. Up-and-comers.
Yeah, for sure. And... the only thing is, sorry, Bob. The only thing is that Donnie Football, I feel like maybe at the end of the order, and you missed all of this. We had a very nice server that I was referring to as Dr. Cornfetter.
Russell is his name.
Russell. he said he'd go get everything ready, and then Donnie sneaks in with a Brussels sprout order, Bob, right at the end. And I know that Pony and Mueller asked him to really stick it to me with the bill. And he got that. He doesn't want Brussels sprouts. Does Donnie strike you as a Brussels sprout type guy?
As he becomes more worldly, yes. I think Brussels sprouts are something that most young people do not eat. And then as they get older and they realize some of this refined food, by the way, they make them great over there.
Yeah, they're good.
They're like candy almost.
Right.
So, yeah.
They were good. I will acknowledge
Brussels
that.
Brussels sprouts are awesome.
Mashed potatoes. What else? Oh, my God. The lobster mac and cheese. Steaks.
And then
dessert. And Donnie went all in on dessert, too. Bob, guess how much the bill came to? And I told these guys the same thing. I'll tell you exactly what we ordered. We ordered three steaks. I got the petite filet. What did you get, Limits?
I got the New York strip.
New York strip. Donnie got
a
ribeye.
I need to know ounces.
16.
Oh, my God.
Donnie, Bob, I could not believe that I ate all this.
Yeah,
I could not
believe it. It was big. And then Donnie ordered a ribeye the size of Mulsey's cranium. I mean, it was incredible. Mm.
Ribeyes are very juicy steaks.
It was the size of home plate at PNC Park. And then we got those. We got, for the whole table, mashed potatoes, lobster mac and cheese.
Brussels sprouts.
And Brussels sprouts. I got a little salad. We all got drinks. Somebody I know over there may or may not have picked up the drinks.
So the drinks aren't included then?
No.
I'll discount them?
No. And then the desserts were, me and Donnie got the cheesecake. And what did you get, Limits?
I got vanilla ice cream with chocolate syrup.
There's nothing wrong with that.
It's basically like chocolate ice cream, yeah.
Bob, if you come within $10 of the total bill, as I told these guys last night,
not counting tip,
I will treat you to a steak dinner. They couldn't do it. What was the total bill, Bob? I'll even round out the cents involved.
Hold on.
Bob's calculating right now.
That's what I tried to do last night, Bob, and I way overshot it.
He's very well versed on places such as this.
That's true.
Did you get any breaks along the way? Did someone give you? This is all stuff that you paid for, right?
Yeah, except the drinks.
Except the drinks.
Maybe.
I'm going to say $292.
Oh my God!
Bob!
I took away the cents. He did. It was $302, Bob.
Good job,
Bob.
Yeah, we're going to a steak dinner.
No, you've spent enough. You don't need to do that.
This is incredible. Wow. Yeah, it was $302.76.
Well, I know what the steaks cost. I'm trying to figure out all the other size and all that stuff, but my adding may not have been up to par.
Yeah.
Within $10, that's good. And I didn't go over because this is over. Price is Right. Can't go over.
Amazing, this guy, huh?
He comes
within $10?
You're not going to believe this.
What?
Dan Zangrilli just walked into the room. And just wanted to confirm that he's here for when we talk to him in about 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Him and Bob had dinner. He came in and said to me, nice communion suit you wore last night.
That was good. Yeah, that was good. They were all dressed up, Bob. They both had suit jackets on. And they looked like they were headed out for prom or graduation. I was very proud of both of them.
Yeah, I think it was a very handsome looking table for sure. And I'm glad you enjoyed it. And that all, you know, the one thing about downtown, we have a lot of good steakhouses downtown.
I'll say.
So,
oh, yeah.
Good choices.
Limits, final feelings on the night out were what?
I do think that I have worn that suit jacket to prom, to graduation, and to every function since. For whatever reason, it still fits. But final thoughts on it. Really appreciate you taking us out, Joe.
Yes, of course.
We did a post-game interview with Donnie Football afterward, a post-meal interview that we sent to you, Joe, to which you responded with no comment. So...
What were the drinks, just out of curiosity?
I drank a cranberry juice and club soda. It's called a Cran Club back in the old country, Bob, with a twist of lemon.
Anybody get a mule?
No mules.
What'd you get?
I had a Captain and Coke. And Donnie had... I can't remember what Donnie had.
Donnie had something that was rather exotic. And Bob, the photo of this, and I don't know whether to be heartened by this or saddened by this, the simple photo of us sitting at the table, guess how many views this has got on Twitter, Limits, now? We're up to 67,000 views.
Wow.
That's insane.
People, see, they thought you all were very talented and congenial people with food. You put it all together, and that's what you get.
And then Limits, the only bad part was Limits posted a photo of me at the end of the night sitting at the table, And I look like Casey Hampton in his prime Steeler career.
He thought he looked fat, Bob.
I did look fat.
No, Joe, you looked fine.
I am fat, actually.
You looked fine.
No, I didn't.
He sent me some very mean text messages. Take that down. Take that down.
Bob, it was an obvious way to make me look horrible.
Oh, come on.
Not that I need a lot of work there. Yes, Limits.
It's also an endorsement that the food was really good.
I said, it was great.
I said, thank you, at Joe Starkey, with the picture of you smiling.
You said, thank you. Thank you, Grandpa.
Yeah, because sometimes I call you Grandpa. You're recently a Grandpa.
Grandpa, and then I look like I was expanding faster than Beaver Stadium, is what I look like, Bob. What were you going to say?
No, I forgot now what I was going to say.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I know how this... There are apps you can do, Austin, that will slim you down, that will do things to make you look better. And if you
could have done
that for Uncle Joe.
No, Uncle Joe.
I'll do that next time for you, Grandpa. We have filled Acrisure Stadium with the amount of people that have viewed this picture.
It's
how about
amazing.
That?
It truly is amazing. Off the Top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Bob, I'm trying to avoid the topic again, but I feel like it's the topic of the day. Of course, we're going to get to the Steelers. We're going to get to where Shedeur Sanders lands on the latest prominent mock draft I saw. I think you'll be very interested in that. That's Dane Brugler from The Athletic. This dude, talk about not having anything else to do. He just picked every team's pick for the whole draft through every round, Bob. That would take a while.
That would take a long time.
That's a little bit of a project.
And honestly, I mean, what's the end result of that? I mean, obviously, we all know they do a lot of homework on this stuff, but it's like some sort of crapshoot trying to figure out who's going to go in what round. It's hard enough to figure out the first 10 picks.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah, I admire it. It makes for really entertaining and fun reading, but I think you'll be interested as to where Shedeur landed in this draft. But we have to start with the Pirates. I mean, and in fact, this takes us to last night. And by the way, Bob, I didn't sleep at all because I had a cappuccino. I forgot to add that.
Oh.
If I told you I got a cappuccino, would you have gotten the guess wrong or more right?
A little higher.
You might have gotten it right on the nose. The Golden State Warriors won last night, and I was just ecstatic.
I watched that until the end. And
Play-in Jimmy came alive.
He did. He had 38. But the thing that I couldn't understand is a five-second violation. You have the ball with a chance to tie the game. And you get a five-second inbounds violation.
Incredible.
Of all the things to happen, that's not something I expected John Morant to get the ball, take a shot, do something.
So between the cappuccino and me being ecstatic, and you can tell I wore my Warriors hat today, Bob, do you like this hat?
Yeah. Now they move into a series against Houston.
Yes, they
do.
That's
a tough series.
Right.
But yeah, I think
But the point is, I was up all night. Excited between the cappuccino and that. Yeah. And the Warrior game. And I went back and timed that, by the way, and they actually gave him a little leeway. It was 6 seconds plus on the inbounds play. They lose on a 5 second call, which was very legitimate. So yes, I'm still trying to avoid the Pirates at any cost. One of the conversations that came up with the guys at the table last night, me, Donnie, and Limits. And by the way, Bob, another one of our servers really liked the word incrinculant, and she started to spread it around the restaurant as it makes its comeback in Pittsburgh and perhaps around the world. She enjoyed the word, did she not, Limits?
She did. Yeah, she definitely did. She said she's going to use it a lot.
Incrinculant.
Did Jeremy, what was the guy's name, our server?
Russell.
Ronald? Russell. He didn't seem to notice that every time he would bring something, I would say, thank you, Dr. Kornfetter. Or if he did, he seemed to enjoy it.
Yes, he seemed to enjoy it, but you also don't say that as frequently as you used to.
I mean, I thought I referred to him as Dr. Kornfetter throughout the evening, but maybe not.
You did, but I don't think you say it on air as much as you used
to. No, I don't. Yeah. And there is an actual Dr. Kornfetter who used to work here, who has a hell of a mustache, I might add, Bob. Does he still work here?
Dr. Kornfetter? I don't think so.
Did you know him?
No, never met Kornfetter.
All right, we got to get to the Pirates. One of the subjects at the table, Bob, was the Pirate lineup last night. And myself, Donnie, and Limits, I said, look at this. Can you find me a worse lineup in Pirate history?
It seems like we have this conversation just about every other day.
Well, listen to these averages. And I know batting average, whatever, it's old school. It tells you if you're a good hitter or not, I still think. But we could pick other stats, too. You could go as deep into analytics as you want. They all stink. O'Neill Cruz bats leadoff, strikes out three times. He left the game batting 200. Brian Reynolds, who gets off to a horrible start almost every year, is batting 211. Key Brian Hayes is your three hitter at 217. The Exxon Valdez is somehow your cleanup hitter. He's at 182. Jack Sawinski, who's somehow still here, is at 156 even after he goes 2-for-4. Tommy Pham is at 154. Adam Frozen is at 176. Kiner Falefa looks like Rod Carew in this lineup. He's at 250. And Hank Davis is at 154. And Bob, that got us looking like Donnie said, there's no way that that lineup is worse than what they had in like 2020, back in the real bad days of Shelty. Remember that, Bob?
Yeah, when they, in that COVID shortened season when they won like 10 games.
Yeah, so that prompted all of us at the table to engage in a little exercise, wasn't it?
Fun. Wait a minute, limits? You're actually at dinner going through...
Pirate lineups from 2020. No, my phone. Yeah. Okay. So we figured it out 18 games into that horrifying season. The Pirates were 4-14. You ready for that lineup, Bob?
Go right ahead.
Adam Frozen leading off at 181 that night. Some things never change.
Except his placement in the batting order.
Kevin Newman batting second at 246. Josh Bell batting third at 203. Josh Bell was Barry Bonds in this lineup. Colin Moran batting cleanup at 226. Brian Reynolds, needless to say, was off to a horrible start that season too at 183. Gregory Polanco at .083. He was on the Hank Davis plan. Eric Gonzalez at 349. He was on his way to a batting title.
Yeah, four at-bats?
Maybe three. Cole Tucker at 200 and Jacob Stallings at 216. They only had three hitters under 200, Bob. This team had six. What do you make of all this? I can't believe we're looking at this six.
It is simple to analyze it. It's just about not developing and not spending. It's the same thing over and over again. And again, throughout this entire time here, we haven't seen one free agent signing go beyond 1 year. We haven't seen much development from hitters in their system. So, I mean, it's pretty much different names, some the same results, which are not good batting lineups, which affect everything. So, even if you have good pitching, you're not going to win a lot of games when you can't score runs. And last night, they were shut out for the third time.
Polanco hit into a double play that night, I might add, Bob.
Yeah, on the surface, that lineup looked better than this one today or from last night.
Yeah.
Because you had guys that you really thought.
Colin Moran would look good in this lineup. Josh Bell would look good in this lineup. Even good old Eric Gonzalez from that year would look good in this lineup, wouldn't he, Bob?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of some of the batting lineups that we saw in the late 1980s because they were,
Not good.
Not good.
Not good. And I realize there's a couple of guys out of the lineup. But if you're looking for Spencer Horwitz as your savior, I think you're going to be waiting a long time. Gonzalez, I think, has a chance to be a good player. And then McCutchen sits. McCutchen's been good. He should be batting first, second, third, and fourth, and he didn't bat at all. Bob, and he said the night before he wants to play every day, and he's the guy that gets a rest.
Yeah, especially coming off a win where they had pretty good offensive numbers. I would have kept the same lineup out there. Again, this rest stuff is over to me anyway. I mean, these games are like 2 hours and 20 minutes anymore, Rest is for later in the season, not in the first couple of weeks. So I would play everyone.
Am I losing my mind or what? Should McCutchen have played in this game?
He should definitely have played in the game. And I'm surprised because we know how much that Jackie Robinson means to McCutchen and the cap tip that he does every time he hits a home run at home plate. I'm surprised that he wasn't in the lineup for that reasoning too. Like, McCutchen, to me, is a guy that definitely wants to be in the lineup on Jackie Robinson Day and salute who he's called his hero before. That's another reason why I thought it was very odd. Like, why is... Why is it not even, if you're scheduling a scheduled day off for him, why is that the day? I don't know.
This felt like rock bottom, and that's not easy to get to with this lineup so far. But Jake Irvin comes in with a 5.36 ERA, and they don't get a single extra base hit? No extra base hits. What did they have? Four hits, four singles.
Four singles. That was it. And Jake Irvin is, you know, he struggled so far this season when he's been out there. That ERA you cited speaks to that. And yet he was seven almost routine, easy innings. Six strikeouts, I think, no walks. He made it look very simple.
I mean, this has reached the point of just disbelief or maybe full belief. Limits, do you have what happened in the field after we got out of the steakhouse on the way home by any chance? Bob, I get into the car.
Oh, there was some confusion on fly balls, pop-ups.
Oh, my God. I get into the car. It was 8:44 p.m., I believe. And I immediately hear, now I can't remember if it was Greg Brown or Joe Block.
I think it was Block.
I immediately hear, yes. Block. Fam going for a fly ball. I don't know what happened there. It went off the heel of his glove. 2 seconds later, fly ball between Sawinski and Fam, I think, or Sawinski and who?
Cruz.
Sawinski and Cruz, and then Wehner comes on and says, I don't know what happened there. Two straight. That's the first thing I hear. Do you have that, Limits? No? That's the first thing I hear is those two plays back-to-back. Their outfield defense is beyond disastrous. The whole thing is. They're sitting here at 6-12, and it should be a time, as Travis Sawchuk said yesterday, that Pirate fans are excited because we could be looking at a rotation later this summer that kicks off with Skeens, Jones, Bubba Chandler, who just lights up the radar gun, and Keller.
And Harrington. Maybe.
Maybe. Or Ashcroft,
one of
whatever
guys.
His name is.
Ashcroft.
One of those guys.
He's talented. So
or Heaney.
Mike Burrows.
Yeah. But the point is what it would lead off with. Yeah. Electric arms.
But again, you're only as good as your scoring offense, too.
Right.
You can't win games when you don't score runs, and they've three times this year have done that.
What would be your first move to fix all this, Bob, or to try to fix all this?
Well, I don't know that, you know, I think sooner or later you're going to see changes to both the manager and a general manager. I don't know when that would be. But that fixes stuff for what? For how long? Because you're going to end up trying to – whoever comes in here then, if they do that, is going to have to get a whole new, you know, runway of time. And how much time do you get? They can't possibly just all of a sudden have guys – snap their fingers and develop into players. They have what they have in their system, and there's not a lot of offense in their system. So it's going to take many years, unless you expect Tamar Johnson to be up here soon. I don't know what soon is. He's still a young kid. He needs to be up here at some point.
Yeah.
What else do they have in their system offensively?
Well, that's the amazing part. There's really nobody knocking at the door. Nick York is their fifth-rated prospect, according to Jonathan Mayo.
Bring him up when he's
healthy.
He should. I thought he should have made the team to begin with.
I honestly don't know what to do. I mean, you wait for Horwitz. Sometimes these things have a way of lingering. You wait for Horwitz and Gonzalez. You hope other people stay healthy, I guess. And then you pray that somebody like Henry Davis gets it. I can't believe Sawinski is... They're still trying with Sawinski, Bob.
What other option do they have at this point, though?
Well, at this point, I don't know, but they certainly had others in the offseason, like go sign a player.
Oh, yeah, I mean, offseason's a whole different story. I mean, I thought that was a complete fail. They should have done a lot more than what they did. They tried to make it seem like they were doing a lot when they weren't doing anything. They were just bringing in older guys, people they know, at low costs, and as they say, you get what you pay for, especially in this game.
Yeah.
You're not going to get – you think you're going to – spend $20 million on 10 players, you're going to get what you get, which are a bunch of 10 players doing not much.
Exactly. I mean, every once in a while,
make a big play.
Get lightning in
a bottle.
It's not
that difficult.
What did they do from 12 to 13 to change things? They brought in Burnett. They brought in Liriano. They brought in Russell Martin.
Martin. Also, Justin Morneau, was he in that?
He was late.
Later.
Late that year.
But I mean, he had, you know, again, you can say what you
want. And they had young stars.
Right.
McCutcheon.
So they had a nucleus, and they added to the nucleus.
Right.
That's what you're supposed to do.
And they made really smart moves. It's not like they broke the bank that year either. I mean, it's not like Liriano and Russell
Martin.
When
it was time to pay up because of the success, they decided to go in a different direction. They didn't put a lot more money into it, which they should have.
And they had young guys coming up. It was a different time. Like, I think people want to paint this as 2013 all over again. I'm not seeing it. Are you?
No, not now. I was hopeful that we'd see a little bit of that, but we're not, you know, I thought this past offseason was going to define how they go for the next year or two, and it showed me nothing.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Bob, news apparently came down before the show that I was honestly not aware of until like 2 minutes ago when Limits did that update, is that Chris Letang had surgery to repair a hole in his heart, according to Kyle Dubas, and the team put out in a news release this morning. Recovery of 4 to 6 weeks, and of course, Letang has had a couple of strokes. I mean, this is heartrending to think about what he's gone through.
Right, and it makes you wonder at his age and everything that he has gone through, if this will change his opinion about continuing to play. Now, I realize, you know, I'm a heart veteran myself. I've had a couple of open hearts. I just had a recent procedure done. I know how this is. Anytime you're dealing with your heart, it's a major, or it is the most important thing that you got in your body. So you have to take it delicately. But this looks like something that he can handle because he's had these issues before. The question is, how much do you want to continue to play, knowing that as a former stroke victim, that's something that can kill you pretty instantly. You don't want to mess around with that, and the heart has a lot to do with it. So I got to imagine that he would have to have long and deep conversations with his family, especially his wife, about how long do I want to do this, because it's going to end sooner or later. And when it does, you have a whole nother life to live.
Yeah, for sure. And that guy, man, has he just been for his whole career a warrior and a winner, and he's been through so much. And we'll get back to that story. Best wishes for Chris Letang. for a quick recovery from that, and we'll see. We'll see what
you
this,
never know
what this holds
play,
for the rest
though.
Of his
True,
career.
Right? He's out there always with the most minutes of anyone. He doesn't look winded at all, and you would think that would kind of show itself. But kudos to him for you know continuing to play. But I still think now at his age that should be a very pertinent question.
And we will for sure get back to that. Meantime, we have Dan Zangrilli in studio to talk Pirates here. Dan, what was the post game like last night? That was just, it was, I didn't see the whole game, but it just felt like misery to have a guy come in and shut them down like that. Defensive miscues, nobody in the building. Your thoughts, and what was it like on the post game?
You know, post game, starting with that, I thought we actually had one of our better shows from the standpoint of not just irate piss and vinegar that we typically get. We had some really, while harsh, critical, very constructive phone calls. And just, there's an element of catharsis to these shows, especially when you start out losing two-thirds of your games, as the Pirates have, sitting at, what, 6-12 now. But I really enjoyed thoughtful, while critical discussion. It was, I think, extremely constructive and productive, rather than just throwing hissy fits, which sometimes in sports talk radio we get a little bit of that. Most of the time we get that. So I really enjoyed the show there. From the standpoint of the game itself, four losses now, Joe, when a starter goes six innings. Mm-hmm. And say what you want about Jake Irvin, mixing, matching, very capable pitcher, has gone on some really good stretches through his young career for a month or two, sometimes even three at a time. I think from Memorial Day last year through July 4th, you could measure him as one of the better pitchers in the National League. He just hasn't put together a complete 6 months. So that's where he is in his career. So capable. Not a household name, 5.5 earned run average coming in. You're thinking, you know, who is this guy? What is he doing? How is he able to just maneuver through the Pirates lineup with such ease? I think the ground is somewhere in the middle there. Obviously, the Pirates are woefully undermanned offensively, and that manifests yet again. I mean, it's just same old story, night after night after night after night. Say what you want about them being undermanned. Are they on their third-string first baseman? Yes. Are they on their third-string catcher? Yes. Are they on their second-string second baseman? Yes. But doesn't matter, right? Nobody cares about that. Nobody feels bad for you. You have to find a way to not be a juggernaut offense. This team is always going to be constructed, Joe, to be built on pitching and score just enough to support that. And here we are 18 games in, already with four losses where your starting pitcher goes six innings. And that was, for me, the biggest frustration about 2024. All of those losses that you had when your starter went six and gave you quality outings. Mitch Keller was, Bob, good enough to win last night. Six innings, three runs, two of those coming on a shattered bat bloop base hit after he hit a guy in the face and was probably a little rattled. But, I mean, is that worthy of a loss? Sometimes yes, but not as a frequent occurrence.
Not, especially with the starting pitcher for Washington, Irvin with a 5.63 ERA, too. He had struggled. It's not like he's going out there and you know he's going to just shut you down for seven innings, which is exactly what he did. So I just...
They had one guy reach second base last
night. Right, the whole game. That was it.
Jack Suwinski had two of your four hits. I think the first five hitters in the lineup were a combined 0 for 16, or first four hitters were 0 for 16. I think Cruz and Reynolds between the two of them struck out, I think, five times.
Yes. Surprised to see McCutchen not in the lineup.
I was. That was a question that was brought up. We got into a little of the nuance on that. I looked at the schedule. I see today's game, left-hander on the mound. He's pretty good. 2-0 with a 196. So you probably want McCutchen in the lineup tonight, and maybe you push the envelope with him day game after a night game to face Trevor Williams tomorrow. But as much as you don't want to do this, and as productive as McCutchen has been, I think you do have to ride him a little harder.
Yeah, I do too, especially because it's April still.
And he
seems
said,
to be willing to play. He wants to play. So if he says it, then do it.
And listen, what he says publicly and maybe conversations behind the scenes privately how he responds the next day after running all over the place and diving all over the place. Does the body respond differently? He says one thing on a Monday night. Does he feel differently on Tuesday? I don't know, but the Pirates do have a heck of a stretch here. It's the four versus the Nationals. You've got three against the Guardians, West Coast trip, travel day Monday. So they're probably being really judicious with him because I don't think the next true off day comes until May 8th. So I don't know all the calculus of how and when they're going to use McCutchen. Again, if they want to use him tonight and then maybe turn around and use him again tomorrow, that could be in the cards. You're looking at a whole bunch of things planning this out. But to be just almost alternating days with McCutchen, I don't think that you can afford to do that at this very moment. You're sitting at 6-12, and you need every reinforcement there available to you because...
Especially on a homestand like this one.
Yeah.
You have an opportunity to try to get things right before you go back on the road to, you know, Los Angeles, and that's not going to be easy, so...
Yeah, in short, if he didn't play last night, Bob, he should be in there tonight and tomorrow.
Totally. I thought he should have been in for the whole series where he's swinging the bat, and given the fact they haven't had much offense, they need to really... double down on the guys who are.
Yeah, and the only risk with that, I guess, final thing on it, Joe, is what happens if you run him into the ground and he's fragile, he's delicate, he's 38 years old, and then he blows a tire, right? And then where are you at? So I think that that's also front of mind.
Yeah, and I think that says a lot about where they're at, where
sure.
you're hanging on.
He's their best hitter.
Yes.
That's a backhanded compliment right. Say Andrew McCutchen is your best hitter.
Yes.
Yeah. All due respect to Andrew, but that should not be the case.
He was brought in to be a complimentary piece and to hit seventh.
Yes. Dan Zangrilli joining us till the top of the hour here. Listen to Pomp and Joe every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week. From the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry, contest run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. That means the General is going to join us here in a few minutes. Coming up on the 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. Dan, I have a two-part question about the offense. God bless me. Who is the most disappointing offensive player for you so far? And I know the injured guys hopefully be back, you know, in short order, whatever. Who's a guy in AAA who could help this team?
The most disappointing has been Sawinski. Promise in 23, awful 24, an entire offseason, and the first series in Miami, I thought he looked like a different guy. And I think I even tweeted as much. Well, since then, it's been, and he had two hits last night, so maybe something clicks here, but he is really important to everything. And even to an extent, O'Neill Cruz. Cruz needs to take the next step at some point. To go from a 750 OPS, a 770 OPS, and knock on the door of 900. He is a 99th percentile athlete.
Yeah.
Consistency. The Pirates need a couple of things, and I was told by a guy that really enjoyed his cigarettes. The Pirates win with a most valuable player and a, for lack of a better term, not nice guy. And if you look at any time the Pirates have done anything, going back all the way to 60, Grote, Clemente, 71, Stargell, 79, Bonds, early 90s, Kutch, mid-2010s. Mm-hmm. They had essentially the MVP. And the Pirates need that. O'Neill Cruz has MVP potential and all of the tools. When he's on, it's basically Judge and Ohtani. The things that he can do. He needs to graduate. He needs to go from junior varsity to varsity. And he needs to be a big boy.
That's a good way to put it. Aircraft carrier.
Mm. The next step, and you obviously see signs of it, and there are nights that he could show up and take over the game and move the needle in a massive way. And there are nights where you just don't know what you're going to get. Consistency is the key, obviously, to this game and this grind, that 162. He needs to know how to grind through it and be that guy 5 out of 7 days a week.
Yeah, it's too inconsistent. And last night was just one of those games where you thought, really, 3 strikeouts against that guy? I mean, I know he was...
Non-competitive at bats.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right. Just the swinging stuff out of the zone, taking pitches in the zone. Just, I don't know. I expect there's so much more. Is he a good leadoff hitter for them? Because they've been searching. They had him, you know, they got last night, they had Valdez batting cleanup. They've had Andy Rodriguez batting cleanup. They've had Tommy Pham. They've had all these cleanup hitters.
I liked when Cruz was hitting fourth and Bart was hitting third. I thought because how special he is, I watch opposing managers navigate and move all the deck chairs around O'Neill Cruz. They match up against O'Neill Cruz. They manage their bullpen against O'Neill Cruz. They pitch around O'Neill Cruz, depending on who's in front or behind him. They manage the game around O'Neill Cruz because of his ability. Everybody knows that this is a 99th percentile guy with game-changing ability. And perhaps because he's the only one, really, in the Pirates lineup that commands such respect, I've watched opposing managers, how they go about it, how pitchers pitch him. When he walks, oftentimes it's on four or five pitches, right? Because they're just not going to deal with him because
right.
of that it factor. So I want him hitting fourth and Bart hitting in front of him. Here's my lineup. Reynolds 1, IKF 2, Bart 3, Cruz 4, Kutch 5, Hayes 6.
You seem to indicate from your words when you talk about Cruz that one dynamic bat could be transformative, correct?
It always has been.
Okay,
anytime the Pirates win.
Okay, so let me build on that. They did not go out and try to spend for one transformative bat in the offseason.
Well, I'm talking MVP level, Joe, and they're never going to be able to go buy an MVP level bat.
But a high impact bat you can buy. But that's not my question.
Okay.
They didn't do that in the offseason, even try to get an impact bat. So what would be wrong, and would it be a good plan to parlay some of this pitching talent, like one guy, let's say a Mitch Keller? A Mitch Keller for a like hitter, which is to say a guy in his late 20s who's good. Not great, not MVP level, but what about parlaying Mitch Keller into a bat that is the hitting version of Mitch Keller? Or what about taking one of their younger, really prized guys, not Chandler, not Skeens, not those two, and parlaying that into an electric young hitter?
Joe, they did that. And if the... And I got a guy with a chronic wrist injury.
You're talking about Ortiz.
Ortiz was arguably their second best pitcher last year.
No. I'm talking about a real hitter.
I understand, but the market, if Spencer Horowitz is the cost for a Luis Ortiz,
yeah,
that's the market there. I think they tried to acquire a bat. So
no, I'm talking a really good pitcher for a really good hitter.
I mean,
Ortiz for Horowitz.
Ortiz was arguably the second best pitcher that the Pirates had last year
in many
different stages.
He's not a guy who has an 80-some million dollar contract, and he hasn't.
It's even more valuable. There's more contractual control. He's a 0-6 guy, so that's even more valuable from a dollar per cost basis to the production. If you're trading starting pitchers, I'm not throwing dirt on Mitch Keller whatsoever and saying that he's invaluable. He's obviously a very reliable starting pitcher, and he could fetch you, I think, a nice chunk of change. But I think the impact bat, Joe, that you're perceiving that you would get for a Mitch Keller, if we're using the Ortiz trade as any sort of indication as what you're actually getting in return, they got Horowitz and had to throw in two top 30 prospects along with Ortiz to get a guy with a chronic wrist injury who's not a power bat.
Sounds like they got duped then.
That's another conversation, but I also think that, okay, what's the market? I would like to think that they had other conversations and attempted to do that, and the best deal that they could perhaps pull off was Ortiz and two others for Spencer Horowitz. So I absolutely get and appreciate and am on board with your line of thinking, and I think the Pirates were as well. So that was, I think, in the offseason, their intent.
Yeah. I guess I'm thinking higher level of pitcher for higher level of hitter.
You ruled out Chandler. How about if you got an amazing package for Bubba Chandler? Why would that
be off the
table? Or Jared
Jones.
Yeah, I mean,
once he gets healthy.
Yeah, I mean, especially Jones, and I mean, I think they may have also waited a little too long on, you know, guys like Bednar and Holderman. I think that,
those guys
were on play maybe last year or in the offseason of 23 going into 24. But, I mean, no, your line of thinking isn't at all off base, Joe, but based on, again, the cost of doing business in that particular market, we got a pretty good example of what the price of doing business is as the Pirates actively engaged in such business this offseason.
Dan, thank you for the time, my friend. We have to get to Starkey's card of the week. We'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
All right,
Dan Zangrilli.
I'll see you for tonight's dinner for more chips.
There you go.
Delicious.
Well, yeah.
Must listen is Pirate Post Game with Dan Zangrilli. Also hear him on the pregame. Hear him all over our station, Dr. Daniel Zangrilli. All right. Is the general ready?
He is.
Let's go to General Patton, Jeff Patton from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. It's time for Starkey's Card of the Week. Contest run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Bob, do you have a guess as to the card of the week? I'm going to go with play-in Jimmy. I'm going to go Jimmy Butler, believe it or not. You?
Well, I was going to say Steph Curry, but he's probably been talked about way too much. Now, General, I have to ask you, if I say Shedeur Sanders, he doesn't have a card yet or anything like that, right?
He actually does.
Well, he's been topical this week, so maybe I'll take him.
It's a whole new world.
How about Nico Ayoliva, whatever his name is, the guy from Tennessee who decided to get out of the transfer portal because he wants more than $2.4 million NIL money. Never mind. I'll take Shedeur Sanders.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. Good morning.
Limits, do you have a guess?
I'll go with Sid. Final game for the Penguins tomorrow.
And two golf gurus, and I can't believe no one guesses Rory.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know there were golf cards.
I didn't know either. I thought there was golf cards.
Golf card.
That's a mulligan. Then we'll take Rory.
There we go. We're going to go with the 2014 Upper Deck Gaudi Rory McIlroy. And as he missed that putt, I remember thinking, there's a lot of pressure there. If I miss this thing, I'm not going to be Starkey's card of the week. So we're giving Rory McIlroy center stage this week, and I'm also – we're going to be remiss if we didn't throw in a Jackie Robinson card after Jackie Robinson Day yesterday.
That's a good thought also, yep.
So there'll be plenty of time for Jimmy Buckets. Steph Curry will emerge, I'm sure, during the playoffs. But this week we're going with Rory and Jackie Robinson.
General, is there a Bob Pompiani card? We have learned that this season there will be a Bob Pompiani bobblehead at a Washington Wild Things game. Is there a card out there of
no.
him?
I am not familiar with the card, but maybe we should get one made.
No, you shouldn't.
Yes,
you shouldn't. Because you wouldn't be able to do anything with it. So,
why don't we get a Pomp and Joe card made?
There you go.
Bob, would you do that? You and Ron had your...
we had a cup.
Yeah, your likenesses at the, the Brighton Hot Dog
Shop.
I would be honored by that.
Work on that. That would be a good advertising piece.
I'm thinking you know the right people to get a card done, don't you, General?
I sure do. Yeah, I'm going to start working on that mock-up.
Bob, why don't we do that?
Yeah, why not? He has every other card there. Why not? We should be part of the party as well, right?
Exactly right.
More importantly, General, perhaps you could join us. We could all take a field trip to the Wild Things game for Bob Pompiani bobblehead night. We don't have a date yet, do we, Limits?
No, not yet.
No, it won't be known until after the Steelers schedule comes out. That's what we have to wait for, because it's going to be some Saturday in August. But
did you pose for this bobblehead, Bob?
No. And so I
have you seen it yet?
No.
Is it produced yet?
No. It better not be like the Dwayne Wade one, or the statue.
Right.
I don't know what that's going to look like. I need to have some control over that, don't I?
They could accidentally put Malzi's head on your body. That would be a bad thing. General, thank you.
You're welcome, guys. You have a good week.
You too, Jeff. Thanks.
See you, buddy. That's the General, Bob. And that was the card of the week. Limits, why don't you tell the people what's ahead?
Jay Caulfield will join us next.
And then we have a treat later in the show, too, don't we?
Yes, we do.
In the 1 o'clock hour, tell people about that.
I would love to tell people about that, Joe. I've been, over the last couple of days, in communications with somebody named Kaylee that wanted to share about how a local golfer here in the area took part in the drive, chip, and putt competition at a part of Augusta National.
Yes.
How about that?
We featured him on TV. Rich Walsh went out and spent some time with him.
He's only
12 years old, and he was there the last time, and so he went back this time looking to win.
Oh, this is going to be great. All right, Jay Caulfield on the Penguins next. We told you about the Chris Letang news. Surgery, right, to repair a hole in his heart. Recovery time estimated at 4 to 6 weeks, and everything that guy has been through, it's just, you know, sad in a way, Bob, but it's also a story of perseverance, that guy, isn't it?
It is. I mean, he's been able to somehow put it behind. I know, to me, it's something that would be on your mind, I think, a lot.
Yeah.
Because it's on mine in some of the things I've gone through. But you got to somehow forget about it, and he's done that. And again, he logs more minutes than anyone on the blue line, and he doesn't miss games other than those kinds of situations. But he's got a long life after hockey, so I think at some point that has to become number one on the priority list.
Hopefully a very quick recovery, and all will be well with Chris Letang.